Hello and welcome back to the Staring Abyss podcast. My name is A.H. Thompson and welcome to episode 4 of the Christian Weston Chandler series. Like I said in my last episode, today we're going to start with the Megan saga. I kind of got a little bit into that yesterday with that and the Love Quest. And the Megan saga is kind of right after the beginning of the Love Quest and kind of what goes on after that. Now, Megan Schroeder, who he met at the game place, kind of ended up bonding with Chris after kind of the discovery of Yu-Gi-Oh! Now, she was into Yu-Gi-Oh! I don't know if Chris was or not. I think he was, because I think there are a couple cards he made, I think, of Mary Lee Walsh, but I don't know if that was before or after he met Megan. So that's kind of up for debate as well. But, you know, I question that because Chris, especially if when you kind of look at other stuff and later things as well, he will do anything to get a girlfriend, and that of course involves copying what they like. So I don't know if Megan introduced him to Yu-Gi-Oh! And he just kind of like, oh, I like Yu-Gi-Oh! Now, because we do know that he was introduced to Sailor Moon by Megan, and then he was also introduced to My Little Pony as well, and took a huge following to that. And there's also some artwork later on of Sailor Moon. There's artwork of My Little Pony. And, you know, he kind of copies whatever he thinks they'll like. So, especially, too, we see in the Sonichu comics that his art style definitely changes. I really can't say what kind of art style it was before, but you can definitely tell there's more of an anime art style, especially in the fight scenes. You'll see a difference, and then especially how the characters are drawn with the much larger eyes and, you know, kind of disproportionate bodies. And that, I think, was an attempt to kind of go and, I guess I would say, win her favor. Now, Megan, of course, kind of being Chris's, I guess you could say, really first adult friend that he really met by himself without anybody else, and kind of got to know, you know, he immediately went from, you know, especially with Chris, especially, you know, went from being, you know, acquaintance to trying to make her his, you know, sweetheart immediately. And, you know, Megan wanted no part of that. Megan really just wanted to have a friend, someone to talk to, someone to play Yu-Gi-Oh! With. And that's highly expressed because we can see in their email between both of them, they have, I think, multiple different, you know, series of emails between the two of them that kind of showed, you know, decisively that Megan really did not want anything beyond friendship. But, you know, Chris does not take no for an answer. If Chris wants it, Chris is going to do everything to get it. And that really eventually kind of ended their relationship because Megan did not want that. And, that's all Chris ever wants. It's either money or it's going to be, you know, a relationship. And that's what Chris went after. And that ended up ruining their relationship. But kind of going back to their relationship kind of before it split, they would do fan art together. I know she did we have some pictures of stuff that she drew of her own fan art she did of Sailor Moon and of My Little Pony as well. I think there's some Yu-Gi-Oh! There probably is. I haven't seen it, but it probably exists. But, you know, of course, her drawing is much better. I mean, her drawing, you know, isn't amazing, but it's far, far beyond what Chris has ever been able to replicate. And they kind of conversed about that, and she actually talked to him about different storylines that he ended up putting in the Sonichu comics. So there are some, I think it's, I want to say episode 6, that are influenced by things that he talked about with Megan storyline-wise. But, of course, with everything with Chris, it can't just stay at friendship. So he constantly, you know, tried to go ahead and touch her, tried to take her on dates, tried to kiss her, you know, and she didn't want to do that. She just wanted to be friends. So that kind of started to kind of push him apart, and there's a lot of emails where she's like, what the heck, you know, why, She's like, I want to be friends. Like, what are you doing? And I don't think she knew, you know, of course, this is what, 2005, 2006, you know, no one really knew the Baxter and Chris then. You know, there's very little online, you know, and about that. So I think she walked into something she didn't know, what it was. And I think once they kind of killed the relationship, she kind of used that against Chris and tried to kind of make Chris get back into her favor. She actually used Chris to buy a lot of stuff for her, on eBay and I think other websites as well. Action figures, video games, stuff like that. So she kind of used Chris, so that wasn't great. You know, Chris, you know, wasn't great either, but still she kind of used him, to get him purchase stuff as well. But even that, you know, I think she bared that just, you know, to get that out of it, but she still, you know, she couldn't handle Chris. I don't think most people can. And like I was saying earlier with the comics and how he kind of took ideas from her, you know, Chris doesn't have really any original ideas. He took that from Megan, and actually started putting her in the comics. Now at first she was like, oh, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's great and all this stuff. But of course, Chris being Chris, he immediately in the comic, you know, made it a sexual thing and romanticized it. And, you know, she was not for that at all. You know, and that, kind of started the last kind of moments of their relationship is when he started, you know, and like I've said this before, he uses his comics to live out anything or change anything in history that he can't have in real life. He will immediately go and create whatever fantasy he wants to in Quickville, in, you know, the Sonic 2 series. And so he put Megan in there, and used, you know, and kind of created the relationship that he wanted that he couldn't have in the real world. So in 2007, Megan ended up moving to Kentucky. Chris still somehow deep down in his heart still believed that Megan loved him, even though at no point had Megan, you know, ever said, I love you, tried to do anything with him besides anything that was friend related. And of course, you know, Chris interprets this as love. And he actually ends up entering a contest, to try and win a PSP, to give to Megan. And part of the contest is to go ahead, and once, if you won and you were selected to win, you got to go to a convention. That is what's called the Adam Stackhouse Saga. I'll get into that a little bit later, because that's its own kind of thing in itself. And of course, you know, he winds up not winning it. And, you know, he still tries to email Megan, you know, trying to say that he would, that he tried to do this for her and tried to win it, and, you know, that this would win back Megan and, you know, all this stuff. But that was kind of a big thing in 2007, with him trying to win that contest for her. But like I said, that's a whole another saga we'll probably get into, I'd say next episode, because it kind of carries over into some other things as well. But going past that, at this time, this is kind of when people started to find Christian on the internet. And he ends up, you know, people, I think it was from Something Awful, originally find him, and find his comics and find his comic books. I won't go too much into that because I kind of want to do its own kind of episode on his own discovery. But anyway, he gets his own Encyclopedia Dramatica page created. And if you don't know what that is, basically it's like Wikipedia, except it is pretty much all satirical, but it has information, you know, about different internet things that exist, and definitely a lot of not safe for work stuff on there. But he ends up getting a page on there, and of course, you know, everything's satirical, everything, you know, basically it's to kind of call out people pretty much like Chris, that have done strange and weird things on the internet. And he at first thinks that this ED page, which is Encyclopedia Dramatica, was created in error. So he goes in and tries to edit the page. He's like, oh, they just have, you know, and he puts out a YouTube video saying, oh, you know, this information's wrong, this is the correct information, all this stuff. Well, of course, people are like, oh my gosh, this guy's real, you know, he's not some troll. Because for a while, they actually did think he was, you know, when they was first discovered, they thought, nah, this guy's fake, this isn't a real dude. But, you know, he started replying to all this stuff for Encyclopedia Dramatica, and people started to finally see that he was, you know, a real person. And this is kind of where, I think about 2007, where all the trolling, you know, took off. But we'll get into the whole trolling, you know, kind of thing a little bit later. But it is kind of pertinent to this story because, you know, they go ahead and find his comics. And at that point, you know, they kind of were starting to screw with him and, you know, saying, oh, you know, you're gay and all this stuff. And, you know, they started creating their own fan art of Sonichu and Roschu, some having, you know, gay sex, and other ones, you know, have lesbian sex and all that stuff. And, you know, having, I guess you'd say non-heterosexual relationships. I don't know. I have to look at all of them. I don't want to, but there's a lot of, you know, stuff they made to kind of, you know, get a reaction out of Chris with all this kind of gay fan art. Because Chris has a huge thing, at least at that point, he had a huge thing against homosexuality. Like, it was a massive thing. And he, you know, was outraged by this because he's like, oh, that's not real, you know, all this stuff. And it, his response to this, you know, he took, and that's one thing with Chris, when you go back through everything, his responses to the trolls is what has fueled everything, because he never just, you know, ignores them. He always has to go ahead and give a response. Well, his response to this was saying, he's like, oh, well, Sonichu isn't gay. You know, Sonichu and Roschu are heterosexual and stuff. So he goes and makes all this art of sexual acts between Sonichu and other characters, and then he goes and creates pictures of himself going and having sexual acts with other people as well. I think one is a group orgy he made, and then another one is him fingering this girl and him giving me a thumbs up. They're both naked. And the girl's eyes are blacked out. There's like a black line going across them. And the caption on the picture is, she came for quick. And so the controversy with that picture, and that's what really ended everything with Megan, was because he went and he put this picture up and he's like, oh yeah, you know, this, he's like, see, I'm straight. You know, I post these, you know, pictures, and I drew this, like, showing that they're straight in the comic. You know, they're not gay. And he, in his comics, he has gone, and his one big fantasy is to have a daughter, a father and daughter named Crystal, of course, close to his name, Christian. He has wanted to have this daughter, and that's actually been in the comics. And so they're like, oh, well, the girl you're describing there, you know, on the bed, supposed to be naked with no clothes on with her eyes blacked out, like, well, that must be Crystal. So you're having incest, you know, doing sexual acts with your daughter. And so he goes and he's like, no, it's not. He's like, that's Megan. And so Megan hears about this, and which the picture was about Megan, and Megan's like, you know, like, what the hell? Like, why are you drawing a picture of you fingering me, you know, and all this stuff. And it just blew up in his face, drawing these pictures with sexual acts of him doing things to Megan. And that was the moment where she completely stopped talking to him, where there was no contact anymore. Well, I mean, there was contact, but that was the point where she had had absolutely enough of Christian and his antics. And Chris really did try to save face. He tried to do everything to kind of get her back. You know, he tried to say, oh, well, the trolling's so bad, you know, it's nothing compared. He didn't think she understood what was going on in the picture. Here's the thing, Chris really doesn't understand sex and sexuality. So it's he doesn't understand that, and he thought that she didn't understand it. There's some weird stuff he admitted. He admitted that sometimes he did have the impulse to want to, they said rape, it's horrible, but possibly trying to rape her. Some pretty horrible stuff kind of came out of him trying to save face, of course, saying that doesn't help at all. And he tried to, do everything to kind of paint himself into a better light, but with Christian, he just dug himself into a deeper and deeper and deeper hole. And he still, no matter what, tried to contact her. Everything they did, everything he tried to do, he tried to get back at her no matter what. Later in about 2009-2010, he was still trying to get in contact with her. He made videos trying to talk to her and, thought the trolls were after her and all this stuff, and wrote a song for her, and tried pretty much everything, trying to win her, non-existent love back. But with a lot of things with Christian, if there's something he can't get from somebody, they eventually kind of turn into a villain in his mind. And Megan eventually did turn into a villain in his mind. And he started to hate and go against her. This is seen with some of the stuff, especially... Now, the problem was, too, is Barb and Bob, after, they broke up, and of course, not when they broke up, of course, but when Megan was no longer friends with Christian, and all the trolling started to happen, they immediately were like, oh, Megan was a troll, she was never, she was never a friend, she was just a troll and all this stuff. And they tried to blame her for everything that happened. They tried to blame her for him being banned from the game place. And Christian didn't at first, he didn't blame her for that. His parents really fed him a lot of just how, saying that she was horrible, that she was bad, that she had caused all this trolling in his life. I think it was almost 6 years after he gets banned from the gameplays, which I'll go into a separate podcast about the gameplays, because that's a pretty kind of big point in Christery. That's gonna have its own thing, because that also, like, and a lot of the sagas, they all kind of play into each other, but it'd be very difficult to actually put them all and intertwine them all together into one congruent story. Anyway, 6 years after he was banned, he would go on to blame Megan for getting banned, and then being working with Michael Snyder, who was the owner of the game place at that time, with getting him banned, just blaming her for just a lot of things that happened to him. And in later videos, there's a lot of things where he says that he hates Megan, and there's things where he says that he had already moved away from Megan, even though he didn't. In 2012, he tried to actually dox Megan, give out her information and all that stuff. In 2013, he finally pretty much, put her as being the master of the trolls. And this, kind of going with all this, he kind of goes in and pretty much thinks of everything and goes with what his parents said, that she was, the one who was creating all the trolling, that she was, in cahoots with the game place, and all this stuff. And all the way up into 2018, he even still tried to talk. He actually went back and tried to actually contact her. Because she moved away, she'd had a boyfriend, and it's still, amazing. You know, he's still trying to contact her. Of course, it is thought that it might be trolls that he's speaking to. But we do think that on May 18th, on May 18th, he did actually say that he was sorry for everything he did. He actually did go back, actually do that. And he actually tried to mend things, but you know, this is almost about a decade, past when they cut off communication. But he was still trying to, you know, repair things, get things back. And I think that was kind of a point of, you know, I mean, right now, once we kind of get up to, you know, the current year and, you know, we kind of get up to there, you kind of see a lot of things that have fallen apart, and he really doesn't have any friends anymore. He doesn't have really anybody to talk to. So it's not, you know, it's not crazy to think that, you know, he's trying to just, kind of get back to things and, you know, try to, make friends again. But, you know, that's never going to happen. We don't know where Megan is, what she's doing, but, you know, hopefully Megan did not respond as far as we know. So, but yeah, that's kind of the end of the Megan saga. I know I kind of rambled there a little bit, but kind of, you know, try to stay true to kind of what happened there. A couple things were left out just because some of that stuff does go into, more of some of the sagas. So we'll kind of fill that in once we hit, because there's about two other sagas that kind of happened during that time, that also kind of influenced that as well. So we'll get into those as well. But yeah, I think that about covers it for today. Tomorrow, I think we'll go ahead and cover the Adam Stackhouse saga, because that's kind of the next one. And kind of the big one that hits kind of before everything hits the fan for Chris. So stay tuned, and see you guys tomorrow.